The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
This is Liz Anderson from Centerville, Virginia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 218 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing okay, Mike. How are you today?
Doing okay. Actually feeling a lot better than I thought I'd feel after we did our little run yesterday, you might say.
Yeah, we kind of sort of ran together. We met up at a few points and were apart for a few points, but thank you for sticking it out. I had a little bit longer run than you, but it was nice. It was a nice fall day, perfect weather. It was about 50 here in New England. So, and with that, I know everybody is out doing lots of running and practicing, and people are doing wine and dine, and people are getting ready for January, doing their January training. They're training for Princess. So yesterday, as I do often, I asked people who are running, and 60 people responded. So without further ado, here's the shout out. You ready? We applaud you, Don Edens, Brian Johnson, Liz Driscoll, David Koch, David Welty, Russ Stringer, Eric Anderson, Chris Trawick, Matt Birchfield, Jill Fox, Kim Sheriff, Sue Denkowski, Dee Dee Webster, Jennifer Hall, Nate Crawford, Tanya Christopher, Abby Lambert, Krista Wilson, Chris Kimberly Orlean, Sean Goddick, Jill Scabalia, Kim Sheehan, Laurie Shaw, Shatali Shaw, Wendy Stacy, Amy Perkle, Donna Genko, Van Edwards, Joe Quattrocci, Steve Moss, let's see, Elise Jones, Kimberly Wenzinski, James Ward, Carolyn Canster, Tim Sullivan, Arthur Mills, Kara Kenny, Debbie Howard, Kimberly Johnson, Julianne Feschel, Heather Eldridge, Brandy Smart, Jennifer Bryan, Trisha Duncan, Aaron Taylor, Andrew Sommerfeld, Michael Soskell, Jessica Snowden, Marlon Yoder, Mark Birchfield, Ingrid Lee, Jeff Franciski, Joe Laszlo, Deborah Wolf, and Megan Bouchard. Hey, everybody out there running their long runs. Congratulations. And there are a lot of things pulling our time away in different directions, but you're out there training. Congratulations.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa.
Our show isn't over yet. That was about 60 people. So that was my longest list of people to shout out for. And we know people are listening, and they post all the time on the podcast that they're listening during their long run. So I just made the show a little bit longer.
Good luck, everybody. And when you talk about people who are training, there are some of those, Michelle, I don't know what percentage, but I'm guessing there's a few out there who you mentioned who are training for their very first Run Disney event. And maybe that very first Run Disney event is at the granddaddy weekend of them all, which is in January. And I know that all of us at one time were training for our very first big race weekend. And there are a lot of things that we probably did not know, probably weren't aware of. And we went out and we did our race, and we have been doing them since then. And I'm sure a lot of us who have been doing this for 5, 10 years or whatever are thinking, you know, there are a couple of things that I wish I had known before I had taken off, or even a few months beforehand, before going on to that very special weekend where my life was changed forever. So what we're going to do is Michelle and I are going to talk about that, right, Michelle?
Yeah, so this is the title of the show is going to be I Wish I Had Known, because we were chatting, I think, actually towards the end of our run about today's show topic. And we came up just off the top of our heads with several things that we wish we had known before we did our first Walt Disney World or Disneyland race.
Yes.
That's right. I remember back when I first, I really didn't know anything. All I knew is what Run Disney or whatever I'm not even sure if it was called Run Disney when I was doing it. But, you know, I did get some email and a few things that they told me what to do, but the wealth of knowledge was not there as it is today for everyone. And so I think that, you know, having said that, I think we should go over a few things that we now realize. It's sort of Monday morning quarterbacking. We now realize that's important, that we think everybody should
know. So I made my list. Here it is. It's it'll take me about 3 hours. Is that all right?
You only have, you know... You already took up 1 hour with the shutout.
That was my perfect cue for you to do a Sam the Eagle thing. It's glorious 3 hour.
But it's Kermit who says, you only got 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, so what do you wish you had known?
I knew that when I was in my first Disney race was 2006, January 2006. One of the things that I didn't realize until I got down there actually on race day was how many people were running. I had run in many races before going down to Orlando to run, but I had never run in a race with thousands of people. And that really takes a little bit of getting used to, you know?
I think you stole that one from me. Didn't I mention that yesterday? Yeah. I mean, it was really eye-opening to see in a half marathon that you are one of 26,000 people. That was my first race, but if you compare it to a local race where I live, there aren't 26,000 people aside from that little shindig they have every April in Boston. But the sheer number of people is surprising. Like, what is it? What does 26,000 look like? And how do you get 26,000 people across the start line? It was pretty amazing.
So Michelle, so what's the big deal about that? I mean, people may be out there saying, so what? There was a lot of people. What's the big deal?
Well, for me, it was, just the number of people in the corrals, especially if you're a new runner and you're starting in the back of the corrals, how far away you are from the start line. It looks like you are in a whole nother zip code, really. You can see the fireworks. You can, you know, they have the sound system going off, but you think, oh my goodness, am I ever going to start this race? It's, you see people of all shapes and sizes and ages, and it's just really eye-opening to be, when you're in the corrals, you're pretty crowded and you're close to everybody. And because of the length of these races, you don't all end up at the same time, so it's nice and spread out. But it is just kind of surprising how many people.
And I think what happens when you have a crowd like that is you learn how to run with that many people around you. It's completely different when you're training, and completely different if you're running at a local race where you may have maybe a few hundred. But when you have a few thousand and when you're in the corrals, it's like really a learning process. So that was something that, you know, came to mind that first weekend after I had completed my first half marathon.
All right.
All right, Michelle.
I'm going to combine my next two because they go together. My first one was, I wish I had known what a long walk it is for the runners, for a lot of the, especially the half marathon and the full marathon, what a long walk it is from the runner staging area all the way to the race. Mike, how long would you say that is? I know it depends on the race, but I know the one we just did, that the Tower of Terror, was a very, very long walk.
I think that the Tower of Terror walk is not as long as the January one. I think the January one is about a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, it's a long walk. So you want to, they give you lots of reminders, but I just thought, okay, we're going to turn the corner and we'll be in our corrals. No, it's a very long walk. In contrast, I was shocked when I went out to Disneyland to do my first race, what a very short walk it is from the resort hotels to the race start. You can really just roll out of bed and get there an hour before the race and be perfectly fine. You kind of just walk out of the staging area and you're right at the corral. So long walk at Walt Disney World, short walk at Disneyland. What's your next one?
Well, although I am an early bird, I never realized how early you really had to be there to make sure that you were ready to do whatever you had to do that day. And I think for me, the thing that really surprised me, and no one really mentioned this to me, but how excited I was the night before and how I really couldn't settle down. And so what that told me is, and that teaches me now, that I have to get in my room as early as I can possibly get in there to settle down and go to sleep, because I'm going to be so excited, so nervous. I was worried about oversleeping. I had set my phone, I had a wake up call. I had the clock radio all set up. Yet I couldn't sleep. I don't think I slept at all. I remember, and this is kind of funny, I remember sitting on the edge of the bed waiting for the wake-up call. and so I think that a lot of people don't realize how kind of exciting it is, because when you go to the expo, when you go to the bag pickup and you see everything and you begin to get an idea as to how much is going on and how exciting it is, you really can't settle down. So I think that was one thing I wish I had known, because I think I would have settled in a lot earlier that night.
So my next one sort of goes with yours, and that is how difficult it is to stay off your feet when you're running a Walt Disney World or a Disneyland race. I mean, for a lot of us, it's one of our happiest vacation places ever. You're in your wonderful playground. You want to go to Epcot. You want to go to the Magic Kingdom. You want to go downtown Disney and the other parks and the water parks. It's all there right at your, right at your doorstep. And to say, I'm going to shut it down and I'm going to stay off my feet. And my suggestion for this is to make use of the wonderful things that you sometimes miss when you're at a resort. The wonderful pools, go sit out by the pool, go hydrate by the pool all day long. Or just if you have to walk around, do little walks around the resort. But it's really, really hard when you're at such a fun place to stay off your feet, and it's super important. And that was something that was really surprising to me too, because I think during my first race, which is a half marathon, I pushed it a little bit, especially when you're with family and friends. You want to, so you have to kind of just be strict and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Get another one?
Yeah, I want to get back to the corrals. And the crowds. One of the things that nobody ever mentioned to me, and I didn't know anything about this, was that how crowded it was in the corrals, and that once you got to the corrals, back then, the corral release was such that it was maybe every 10 minutes, it seemed, and it was just very frustrating. So I think having that knowledge beforehand and being ready for that, I think that would have been much better for me. Not knowing, and I was just getting nervous and frustrated, and I just wanted the thing to get going. I wanted to go, because as much as I thought I was ready and I knew I was ready, you want to get going. And once you get going, you can say, okay, I'm doing the race. I'm starting. Just the corrals just were very frustrating. And it's important for everyone to know that it's just packed in the corrals.
Mm-hmm.
No room to sit down. You got to figure out how to keep limber and everything. And it's just something that we all have to live with.
Well, I'm going to add to that, because I had another one about the corrals too. I think you can sit down if you get there early, if you get to the corrals early. I know you don't like to, but two things that I learned about these pre-races and in the corrals is bring a garbage bag to either put on top of you, punch a hole out, punch arms out to put on top of you to keep you warm. And it also serves as a great thing to put on the ground if you're going to sit on the ground if you get to the corral early. So, and the other thing to go with that is, and I didn't know for the first time I did my race, is that you should bring throwaway clothes during the cold weather. So an old sweatshirt, an old pair of sweatpants if you want to, and even cheap Target or Walmart mittens and things like that. All of those clothes, when you throw them off to the side, get donated to local charities. I wish I had known that the first time. I went right in my race clothes. So bring a garbage bag, bring throwaway clothes, hats, mittens, things like that for those colder races.
You know, Michelle, what you just said just now kind of gave me another item to put on my list, because it reminded me of my very first one, and it's probably, well, it's sort of known that I broke my ankle on my first one, and it's because of things that I did not do. And one of the things that I really want everyone who's running their very first January Run Disney event, or any Run Disney event, be aware of everything. Be aware of everybody around you. Be aware of where you're running, where you're stepping, because I don't want anybody to trust. I don't want you to trust your fellow runners. I want you to be aware of things that they may throw on the ground. Even to this day, even in the Tower of Terror race, Michelle, I saw a water bottle on the ground.
That might have been that somebody dropped it by mistake.
But I know, yeah. You can't trust everybody to be, you know, vigilant, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I want everybody to be careful. I stepped on a...
So sort of like you drive defensively, run defensively.
Yeah, because there are a lot of things that may be on the ground, and that goes with the corral thing, you know, when you first start off, when you go over the mat that reads your chip. I just was not aware of how aware I had to be no matter where you are on the course. So I want to bring that up, and thank you for bringing that to mind.
Oh, that's my job, Mike. That's why I'm here. I take my role as a co-host very seriously. All right, the next one for me, I have as my family members like to remind me, I have the bladder of a squirrel, so I have to go to the bathroom a lot. The lines at the porta potties, especially for the race start, are very, very long. And before you go to the corral, if you have an inkling that you're going to need to go to the bathroom, you want to make sure that you get to the porta potty, I would say half an hour before you're planning on going to the corral. Now, there are porta potties on the way to the different races often, and certainly they're on the race course. But if you think you want to go before the race starts, you need to plan ahead of time. That's something I wish I had known. Okay, Mike, what's your next one?
So the next one's kind of difficult. As someone who's been down there hundreds of times, you know, you think you know the area really well, but I think if someone had sat me down before my first half marathon and said, okay, Mike, here is the detail of how the course goes, telling me where I would expect to see ramps and hills, straight, flat portions of the course, where it would be wide, where it would be thin, where are the turns, where are the most exciting parts, where are the parts that I should really think about maybe going slowly because it's such a very important part of the course, things to watch out for, things to prepare me to make sure that I get through safely and successfully.
Do that now? To look at the race map?
Well, you look at the race map, but I mean, find someone who's run the race, who is good in telling details. We've tried to do that. I've tried to do that. It's really hard to do unless you really spend the time and go over, like, almost not every single foot, but in general how the whole course is laid out, because in many cases people kind of don't, they need to be prepared for the what happens after mile 9. They need to be prepared on those hills and the crowds and where they can see friends and relatives who are cheering them on. So I just think knowing the course as well as you can would have been really, really helpful for me. And hopefully there are people out there who are finding that out.
All right. Thank you. My next one is one that we say over and over again on this podcast, but I want to throw it in there because I didn't know this the first time I ran a Run Disney event. This is not a PR race. This is not a race where you're going to have a personal record. Of course, if it's your first race, you are going to get a PR anyway on the course, but this is a fun race, regardless of what coast you're on or what race you're doing, you're paying the high fees for a great medal, a great t-shirt, and fantastic entertainment, and you want to make it last, you know? And so this is a time to really, really enjoy the race course and take your time. And I know that that's been very hard for me. Not that I feel like I'm going to the Olympics anytime soon, but this is not, none of these races are the races where you really, really push it, because it'll be over before you know it. And so do you agree?
Yes, I agree. I think that for the first time you're running it, it's going to be a PR, but it's very difficult to get a second. Let me put it this way. Very hard to get a second PR at a Run Disney event. So,
yeah. So
keep that in mind. The I have a couple of things left, Michelle, and one of the things that I don't know if it's related that much to Run Disney, but it's related to running and maybe running in a Run Disney event, and that is we know so much more now about nourishment during the race. We know so much more about being hydrated and stuff, and I had no idea what I was to find on the course as far as how many water stops. Maybe I just didn't pay attention, but after that first race, I was more prepared. I knew, okay, how long I can wait before I would expect another water stop, and if I needed a water belt. I think that Disney does a great job of keeping their runners safe, and I think it's important to know where those water stops are, and especially if you don't run with a water belt, and there are a lot of people who don't, and so you need to know and be prepared for that those moments on the course where you know you're going to need that hydration, or you're going to need that nourishment. So I think it's important for people to look at that when they get any kind of information, knowing where and how often the water stops are.
Okay, so the next two that I have kind of go along with that. Number one is that you should read from cover to cover your race bulletin. The race bulletin will talk about where the water stops are. It'll show you a map of the race. And so it has useful information on runner etiquette and things like that. It'll have information on buses. It's just really helpful and usually very well put together. To go along with what you said, Mike, and really questions about the course, as you said earlier, in nutrition, is to take time to plan and attend those seminars. They're really interesting. And there's one, we talk a lot of times about Tara's great nutrition seminars, but usually, especially at the big races, there's a panel of the race director and the medical director and people involved with the race. They sit down and they actually talk about the whole course, and there's a chance for you to ask questions of them. So those seminars are great. And I don't think I went to them maybe for the first five races that I went to. I just didn't even pay attention to them. So that's something that I wish I had known.
I think, you know, what we've been saying, Michelle, it brings back memories that everyone who's doing this for the very first time, with a few exceptions, you're focused on that race. You're focused on that day. You're focused on, oh my God, am I going to be able to do it? And because of that, let's go back to one that I had said earlier in the show. You have let's go back to what you had said. You're excited. You're in the parks. You don't know, you know, that you should be off your feet. You don't know when you should be off your feet. You don't know when you should eat. You don't know a whole bunch of things because it's the first time you've ever done anything like this. So let's go to the night before. When did you eat supper? I wasn't sure. I ate like around 6 or 7. I think I hosted a dinner at Contemporary or whatever, but I couldn't sleep. I got up at 2 o'clock. Actually, my wake-up call was 2 o'clock, and I was awake at like 1 o'clock. So got up. I was out the door by 2:30. I was at Epcot by 3 o'clock. The corrals were called at 5 o'clock. I think my corral went off. I forget what my corral went off at 6:30. I ran the race. That was a very crazy race for me. Got my medal. Was all excited. Went back to my room. And here's where I made a mistake that I don't want anyone else to make. I took a shower.
Yeah, don't make that mistake.
No. I took a shower, and then I took a 2-hour nap. Not a good thing, because your muscles stiffen up, and you just don't want to do that. And the thing was that I was so pooped because that last 24 hours was crazy. I was so tired. So you need to figure out how you can not just pace yourself during the race, but you need to pace yourself so that on the day of the race, you go back, you take a shower, you change your clothes, you get right out there and enjoy the parks. You get out there and enjoy your medal and things like that, because it's only going to be to your betterment, to your benefit, I should say, that, you know, you give your legs a chance to get that lactic acid out. You get back into the routine of going to bed at a certain time, because if not, it took me like 3 days to recover.
All right. So then my next one has to do, actually next two have to do with the expo. So I wish I had known that I didn't have to get there at the time that the expo opened, that you can get there later in the day. And actually it's very beneficial in some ways to get there later in the day because the lines are shorter at the bib pickup and your t-shirt pickup and the whole expo. So I wish I had known that. The second one is related to the expo, is I wish I had known how many fun vendors there were at these races. I would have put together a little savings account to buy some things that I saw that I wanted. It's like a gigantic runner's mall, and there's so many fun things that you can buy for night races. There's, you know, the types of socks that you want, other jewelry. There's all sorts of fun things that you can buy. So now when I go to the expo, I put a little money aside to make sure that I have it for things that I may want. This past time it was the Run Disney shoes, which I wasn't expecting, but do you agree, Mike? You never actually buy anything at the expo, so maybe that's just a tip for me.
The only thing I buy at the expo would be something that I didn't want to bring. Like if I wanted to buy a couple of gels.
Yeah, different types of gels, yeah, and things like that.
I think I bought a belt one time there.
Yeah, I bought the little stick that you roll. I bought a travel size one of those. And yeah, I've bought a lot of little things.
One time I almost bought a pair of running shoes in Disneyland. I just didn't have the room to put them, because there's sometimes you can get a really good deal. So I agree with you. I think that I think one of the things I didn't think of back then that probably should be in everyone's thought is, and I do this now, I bring several pair of shorts. I bring several running socks. I have my Mickey Miles shirt, so I don't have to worry about that. But I can remember that day saying, I don't know, these shorts, they don't feel well. They don't feel good. And so I think that it could be runner's nerves or whatever, but maybe you want to bring two pairs of shorts or a couple of pairs of running shorts, ones that you have run in. One may just feel better than the other. Same thing with the shirt. Same thing with just, you want to be comfortable that day. So, you know, bring as much running gear as you think you may need. And the other thing, Michelle, and this is something that I probably thought about, but I really didn't think about, is bringing all kinds of running gear, being ready for all kinds of weather. I just thought, it's Florida, you know, I'm just going to bring a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. And I did.
But also bring a second pair of sneakers. That's something I've learned too.
Yes.
To bring two pairs of sneakers.
Yeah. Okay, Michelle. You're
all right. The next one is, this is kind of tangential, but I wish I had known before the first Disneyland race what a fun vacation Disneyland is. I really kind of thought, oh, it's so much smaller than Walt Disney World. It's not going to be as fun. And now I know that this past summer when I went to Disneyland, I knew that I needed to give myself an extra day or two in the parks, because there's a lot to see and do at Disneyland. And I wanted to make sure that I had that resting time too before the half marathon. So it's a fun vacation unto itself. It's certainly not as big as Walt Disney World, but I still don't feel like I've seen all of Disneyland. So when you're going to run a race there, consider extra days, because it really is fun and a neat place to spend time. Do you have another one, Mike?
I have my last one. It doesn't pertain to me, but it pertains to a lot of my friends who found out the very hard way. And that is that when you go down for your very first race and you're going down with your family, you're going to have a challenge, because their schedule is not going to be like yours. They want to go out at night, the night before the race. They want to go to the fireworks. They may want to eat at a certain time. They may not want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. they may not want to be quiet at 8 o'clock at night the night before your race. So I think that and this is what I've learned from other people who went down with their families. So what I've learned, and this is something that I think we've said on the show anyways, if you're going down with your family, great. But what they should do is you should think about maybe the night before a race, maybe get a cheap room at Pop Century or somewhere, All-Star or whatever, and maybe you need to be by yourself for that night before the race. And the other thing is that if you are going down with your family and you want to spend time with them in the parks, your vacation should be a few days after the race, not before the race. Try to add on afterwards instead of before, and I think that would make it much more enjoyable because you don't want to have arguments with your family in a very important running weekend.
All right, that's your last one?
Last one.
I have a few more. You can chime in if you want to. The next one that I have is I wish I had known how approachable all of the Run Disney people were. I was very afraid to go up to Jeff Galloway and talk and say hello, or say hello to Rudy Novotny or Carissa Bielert or Tara Guidus or John Hughes. They're very, very approachable. They're very friendly, and I wish I had known that, and I wouldn't have just said, ooh, there's Jeff Galloway. Now I make sure I go over and say hello. My next one is, and maybe you can chime in on this one, Mike, I wish I had known how much fun cheering for a race is. We get so wrapped up in the running part of it, but one of the funnest things that I did the last few years was to cheer fellow Team All Ears members on Main Street USA. And to be there on Main Street and see people's reaction, people even handed cameras to me and asked if I could please take a picture in front of the castle. That was really, really fun. It also took a lot of energy, but it was really, really fun. I enjoyed that. Would you agree?
Well, the other thing, Michelle, is that I think that you got to know more people. And if you're cheering for strangers, it's one thing. If you're cheering for someone doing their first 5K, there's a little bit of an emotional connection.
It doesn't
there.
Matter. Yeah, any race, it's just fun to cheer any race.
But
there.
Especially when you know that someone who has been training for a whole year, who have come off the couch, whose 5K medal is going to mean the world to them, it really, really makes a difference. So I agree.
I think we were with a whole bunch of people at the one 5K last year where we didn't even know the last person who finished.
Yes.
And it was just a really magical, wonderful thing. And the last thing, and we've mentioned this before, but I wish I had known because I felt a little uncomfortable after my first race wearing my medal in the park. I felt like, is this going to be too goofy? Wear your medal in the park. Wear your medals in the park. Walk around. Cast members will say congratulations. And you earned it. You should be proud. So definitely wear your medal in the parks.
I agree. And so there are a few that come to mind, a few things that Michelle and I have thought about as far as things we wish we had known for our very first Run Disney event. So we hope that, you'll take a lot of this that we've talked about and think about your first race and think about what's important to you. Maybe not all of these are important. Maybe there are some that, when you think about it, are important, and we want you to learn from this. And we
I would love it if
you.
People could add their I wish I had known to our Facebook page and to Twitter and to share out to other runners. Because even if you're an experienced runner, running it at Disney can be a whole different thing with a whole another set of knowledge.
That is true.
That's why we have this podcast.
That's why we have this podcast. So the discussion continues on Facebook. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road. The Mickey Miles podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing you premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. This special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384 And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.